Hello, I'm Father Joe Roche of the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception. Thank you for joining us as we continue with our year-long journey reading the diary of St. Maria Faustina Kowalska from beginning to end. Today we take up from where we left off, beginning with diary entry number 320. Jesus made known to me how very pleasing to him were prayers of atonement. He said to me, "The prayer of a humble and loving soul disarms the anger of my Father and draws down an ocean of blessings." After the adoration, halfway to my cell, I was surrounded by a pack of huge black dogs who were jumping and howling and trying to tear me to pieces. I realized that they were not dogs, but demons. One of them spoke up in a rage. "Because you have snatched so many souls away from us this night, we will tear you to pieces." I answered, "If that is the will of the most merciful God, tear me to pieces, for I have justly deserved it, because I am the most miserable of all sinners, and God is ever holy, just, and infinitely merciful." To these words, all the demons answered as one, "Let us flee, for she is not alone, the Almighty is with her." And they vanished like dust, like the noise of the road, while I continued on my way to my cell undisturbed, finishing my Te Deum and pondering the infinite and unfathomable mercy of God. August 12, 1934. A sudden illness, a mortal suffering. It was not death, that is to say, a passing over to real life, but a taste of the suffering of death. Although it gives us eternal life, death is dreadful. Suddenly I felt sick. I gasped for breath. There was darkness before my eyes. My limbs grew numb, and there was a terrible suffocation. Even a moment of such suffocation is extremely long. There also comes a strange fear, in spite of trust. I wanted to receive the last sacraments, but it was extremely difficult to make a confession, even though I desired to do so. A person does not know what he is saying. Not finishing one thing, he begins another. Oh, may God keep every soul from delaying confession until the last hour. I understood the great power of the priest's words when they are poured out upon the sick person's soul. When I asked my spiritual father whether I was ready to stand before the Lord and whether I could be at peace, I received the reply, "You can be completely at peace, not only right now, but after each weekly confession." Great is the divine grace that accompanies these words of the priest. The soul feels power and courage for battle. O my congregation, my mother, how sweet it is to live in you, but it is even better to die in you. After I received the last sacraments, there was a definite improvement. I remained alone. This lasted for half an hour, and then came another attack, but this one was not so strong, as the doctor intervened. I united my sufferings with the sufferings of Jesus and offered them for myself and for the conversion of souls who do not trust in the goodness of God. Suddenly, my cell was filled with black figures full of anger and hatred for me. One of them said, "Be damned, you and he who is within you, for you are beginning to torment us even in hell." As soon as I said, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us," the figures vanished in a sudden whirr. The next day I felt very weak, but experienced no further suffering. After Holy Communion, I saw the Lord Jesus just as I had seen him during one adoration. The Lord's gaze pierced my soul through and through, and not even the least speck of dust escaped his notice. And I said to Jesus, "Jesus, I thought you were going to take me." And Jesus answered, "My will has not yet been fully accomplished in you. You will still remain on earth, but not for long. I am well pleased, Pure love gives the soul strength at the very moment of dying. When I was dying on the cross, I was not thinking about myself, but about poor sinners, and I prayed for them to my Father. I want your last moments to be completely similar to mine on the cross. There is but one price at which souls are bought, and that is suffering united to my suffering on the cross. Pure love understands these words. Carnal love will never understand them. Here, Jesus teaches St. Faustina about praying to make atonement for our sins and those of others. In the chaplet prayer, we offer the Father, the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. Such a prayer is very pleasing to God, but it is a torment to the demons, who try to discourage and to scare St. Faustina. She faces the temptation with humility, relying on God, and they flee. St. Faustina faced a serious illness which could have resulted in her death. However, she would live for 4 more years after that. She has the experience, however, of being on one's deathbed, and she learns that one should always be prepared to meet the Lord. If one puts off confession till the end, he or she might not be in a clear state of mind to set things right. St. Faustina was strengthened by the sacraments, and then the demons returned to attack, but St. Faustina prayed the prayer from the Gospel of John, which spoke of the Incarnation, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and the demons fled. Jesus asked Faustina to unite her sufferings with his on the cross, and to be ardent and zealous for souls. Jesus revealed that on the cross he didn't think of himself, but of the souls that he was saving. And he asked Faustina to do the same in the midst of her suffering. Jesus reveals that souls are bought by uniting our suffering with his suffering on the cross.